A new survey reveals parents are talking money more and more with their children. And many say the economy or a change in their financial situation prompted the conversations. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we brush up on money management skills on the eve of the 6th annual Money Smart Week taking place across the state next week. We'll find out how you can talk to your kids about money, how to arm them with money management skills, and why it's so important. We'll also test you with a few questions from UNI's Financial Literacy Quiz held earlier this week. How money smart are you? Find out after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and this hour we want to find out about the nature of parent-child communication in one specific area when it comes to money. What's being talked about between parents and kids? What should be talked about? Why it's important to do it? Also, we'll brush up on money management skills on the eve of the 6th annual Money Smart Week that's taking place across the state next week. Joining us, first of all, Stuart Ritter is with us. He's a certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price. Also, T. Rowe Price is a publicly owned investment firm located in Baltimore. Stuart, welcome. I don't know if you're in Baltimore.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Very good. Glad to have you on the program. Joining us also, first of all, Joanne Custer, state chair of Money Smart Week in Iowa in our Des Moines studio. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. We just passed into the afternoon hour.
I guess we did.
All right. Joanne, hold on for a minute. I want to talk to Stuart because, Stuart, you have T. Rowe Price has a recent survey indicating a lot of fascinating things I want to sprinkle the hour with. But first of all, tell us some of the highlights. For instance, I see in your survey that parents have an easier time talking with their kids about drugs, bullying, and smoking than about family finances and investing. Tell us about that.
They do. We ask parents nationwide a number of questions about not just money, but more importantly, the conversations they're having with their kids about money and how they go about doing that. And as you pointed out, there are a variety of reasons parents are reluctant to have those conversations. They note some of these other topics as something they're more comfortable with, and then get into things like not knowing what they think they should know about the topic, not being comfortable talking to their kids. And one of the things I hear anecdotally is parents thinking that talking about money means some big, long conversation in the living room with the kids rolling the eyes and the parents doing the lecturing and everybody having a fairly unpleasant time. And that's not how these conversations need to be taking place.
Okay, but of course, many parents do have good conversations about money with their kids. When that happens, how is it successful? In what ways, Stuart?
Well, what we found works for folks is taking advantage of everyday teachable moments. So it's not separating money from the rest of your life. It's incorporating those conversations into it. Trips to the grocery store, sporting events, getting money from an ATM, even planning the family vacation gives parents the opportunity to talk to their kids about setting goals, about prioritizing, making trade-offs, working with budgets, the same kinds of skill sets that we want our kids to be able to perform on their own once they leave the house are the kinds of things parents can be talking to them on a daily basis about as they incorporate it into the daily life.
Mm-hmm. How early should you start with your kids? Or right from the time they can pretty much understand money, perhaps?
That's it. A lot earlier than many parents expect. So we're talking 4 or 5 years old. As soon as your kids start being aware that money plays a role in society, that's when you want to be having those conversations. I remember at one point my 6-year-old daughter turned to me in a store one day and said, "Daddy, can I have my own credit card, please?"
Sure.
And I looked at her and I said, "Sam, why do you want your own credit card?" And she said, "Because when you go into a store, you just show them a credit card and you can take out whatever you want."
Yes.
Because that's what she was observing. And my role as the parent is then to provide the context around what she's observing to help her make sense of it. And that kind of observation is happening at a very early age. So it's not waiting until they're a teenager and have their first job. It's certainly not waiting until they might be going off to college. It's starting much earlier with building some of these foundational concepts.
And on a side note, before our financial crisis, it might have even been possible for your six-year-old to get a credit card. Who knows? Probably not possible now, though, Stuart, huh?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to the credit card companies.
Okay.
Certainly, using your credit card provides that opportunity for parents to talk about it, how to use a credit card. And there are two aspects of the how-to part.
Mm-hmm.
And this might make it easier for parents to get into the conversation. The first is kind of the operational aspects of money. How does money work? Just how does a credit card work? How does an ATM machine work? Mm-hmm. In the sense that mom and or dad have to go to a job, they earn money, it gets deposited in the bank, and that's how they're able to take the money out of the ATM and go spend it on something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier for parents to have that operational conversation. Here's how money flows through the house.
Right.
The second part is the values, and this is where I think a lot of parents get tripped up because they think, well, if I'm going to talk to my kids about money, I'm supposed to tell them what my salary is, and I don't want to do that, so shut down. We don't have the conversation. But you can talk to your kids about how you make decisions, about this year you're taking a smaller family vacation because somebody's hours got cut, or the reason your family drives an older car is you've decided that saving for your children's college education is a priority, and that's where you're using your money and not for buying new cars. So you've got both the conversation about how money works and the conversations about your family values and how you prioritize things and make those trade-offs.
I wonder, you mentioned salaries. Should kids know our salaries as parents?
I think each parent can make that particular decision. What's far more important is the conversation you have about that. The idea that you go to work and that's how you earn money, that the money is limited and you have to pay some things that are obligations like taxes, and then you get to make choices about other parts of the money and how you go about making those choices. Those are the kinds of things that will help kids get better at making those kinds of decisions themselves.
Okay, so bring it out of the world of a taboo topic, relevant every day as you go through your day and your child is with you at whatever age. Sprinkle it with learning opportunities, talking about money and your values according to how you treat money, I guess, Stuart, is the message there. Joanne Custer, state chair of Money Smart Week in Iowa. Many will not know what that is, so start off, please, by telling us what is Money Smart Week, which is happening for the sixth annual year.
That's right. We celebrate Money Smart Week April 21 to 28 across the nation. It's a program of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. So we are in the Chicago district in Iowa, so we celebrate Money Smart Week. We started in Des Moines in 2006, and we are up to 9 different regions across Iowa. We are in Cedar Rapids in the Iowa City corridor. We are in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. We are in Dubuque, in Quad Cities, Des Moines, Creston, Harlan, Council Bluffs area, and Sioux City. The whole purpose is to shine a light upon what's happening in financial education in Iowa. You know, in Iowa, we do value our education, and we like to learn. And these are the kinds of moments to hear about your money messages that Stuart was just talking about. These events that we have, and we'll have about 150 across the state next week, are times that you can go to a workshop, a seminar, a statewide conference, or a shred day and learn some parts about money that you maybe don't know. We can all learn a little more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no sales pitches. So we've taken away the high pressure of having to decide from a sales point of view, do I want this product? And it's purely educational. These events are free. They're open to the public. And no sales pitches to worry about.
You know, if I go back 5 or 6 years to when Money Smart Week started, it predates the financial crisis. So what did set it off? What was the recognized need nationwide and here in Iowa that got people thinking this would be a good idea? We need to know more about money.
Well, actually, Money Smart Week started in Chicago in 2002. And We were in the financial education arena before it was cool, or before there was a dire need, because part of the Fed's job is to make sure that our economy runs smoothly. And it runs smoothly when people know how to handle crises and the good times and the bad times, inflation and recession. And so learning about money and bettering your money management skills was a goal of the Fed. That's how the program got started. We've taken it in many different directions across the district, and it's just a fun time, and you do learn as you go.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, Joanne, are the most problematic areas when it concerns money management? Where do we go wrong most often or most crucially?
Being pressured to make a decision is a big thing. Whether you're buying a house or buying that first pair of tennis shoes or learning to use a credit card, you look to your peers and you look maybe to your parents, and you want to make the big kid decision when you're a student. And we mostly operate on with financial education, as in many things, we mostly operate on a just-in-time inventory. So you aren't really too concerned about how you buy a house until you want a mortgage and you need to fill out a credit application for a loan at a bank, and you want to know what the rate is for mortgages that day. Otherwise, you're not too concerned with the mortgage rate or what home prices are doing in your mm-hmm. area and that sort of thing. The same with a credit card. Until you want to use the credit card someplace or you have a need, you're really not too concerned with how to fill out an application or what your credit score is. So the information has to be there when you need it, and it has to be the correct information, and that's a huge problem. So we try to teach students how to get the information, and we also, as adults, need to keep up because, as you know, the financial arena is much more complicated than it was when our parents were operating. It used to be that your parents would have a checking account, a savings account, you would know your local banker, and you probably had a mortgage, maybe a car loan. But there were no ETFs, ATMs, 401ks, IRAs, Roths, or anything else with all the other acronyms, spiders, diamonds, investments, that sort of thing. And we didn't have to have as much at our fingertips as we do now. So the problem, right, that we face is getting the right information at the right time to the right people.
Okay. Joanne Custer is with us from Des Moines, State Chair of Money Smart Week, Iowa. Also, Stuart Ritter joining us from Baltimore, Maryland, certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price, sharing with us new survey results. We want you, River to River listeners, to reach out to us and confess, when in your life were you not money smart? What lesson did it teach you? And would you be willing to share that with us so that we all may learn? 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Give us a tweet at IPR Talk. You know, Stuart, I don't know how willing people will be to confess their money unsmartness, if I can say it that way. I did want to pick up on a point that Joanne raised that I think is in your survey here, too. Is it in raising awareness, going back now many years with Money Smart Week, your survey brought out that parents themselves don't get a very strong financial foundation growing up, our generation, previous generations, do they?
A lot of parents told us that they don't feel like either they get information from their parents or from other sources like schools, which I think is part of the reason you've seen a lot more organizations step in to try to promote financial education, like the Money Smart Week program. These kinds of things are happening in recognition that parents may not feel equipped, that therefore kids may not be getting equipped. So what kinds of things can we do to fill that gap? Now, one of the observations I'd like to make, though, is that sometimes parents think they need to be experts in all these topics. That list of wonderful acronyms that Joanne ran down, parents sometimes think, well, I have to know all that before I can start talking to my kids about money. And the reality is, you don't need to know how a transmission works in order to drive a car. So you don't need to know technical details of things like IRAs and so forth to convey some basic fundamentals to your kids about setting financial goals, about making wise saving and spending decisions, Those are the fundamentals that are going to set both you and your kids on a good path to achieving whatever goals you set for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Also, in your survey, you talk about agreement and disagreement between parents and kids on money matters. Tell us about that, and what do you do when you don't see eye to eye with your children?
Well, we saw disagreements in two areas. First, parents told us that they don't always agree with their spouse about money matters, and kids are picking up on that. In addition to surveying parents, we also asked a lot of questions of kids because we wanted to get a sense of what their perspective on this topic is. So the first thing we learned is kids are picking up on that disagreement, just as kids pick up on a lot of the dynamics that go on in a family. So if parents are thinking, well, we're going to keep this hidden from the kids, we don't want to bother the kids with the stress we're feeling or the disagreement we're having, recognize that they're probably sensing it anyway. And I don't want to get too far into family therapy and away from financial planning, but talking to your kids again about how you're making decisions and how you're dealing with situations can help with that.
Okay. Joanne, Money Smart Week in Iowa, as you said, starts next week, April 21st through the 28th. You listed a number of areas where things will be happening. Tell us what will be happening. Council Bluffs, Creston, Harlan, Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Dubuque, Quad Cities. What will be going on?
Well, we have two statewide events. They're called our Money Smart Investor Conferences. Again, they're both free. You need to register, but they're free to attend. The first one is set this Saturday, April 21st, at Drake University. It begins at 7:45, and you'll hear everything from how to invest in a real estate investment trust to finding college scholarship money, to what a 63 Chevy can tell us about investing in an uncertain economy. It promises to be a great turnout. We also have free lunch there, and because we have a new money fair after that. Everyone is invited. The money fair will be from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. The event is free. Now, our second statewide event is Friday, April 27, at Davenport, and it's a place called CASI, Center for Active Seniors, which is right near the North Park Mall there on Kimberly Road, 1035 Kimberly Road. And similar conference agenda, they would register at womenandmoneyconference.com. Now, I realize it has women in the URL, but that means nothing because we have a lot of couples come because, as Stuart just said, it's important for couples to be on the same page. And we have a lot of men attend as well. So it's not just women, but the website to register is womenandmoneyconference.com.
Are there generally speaking, differences between the genders in approaching money matters?
Absolutely there is, and we could go into a whole show about that one.
Oh, really? Can you give me a short version, Joanne? What's a broad way to talk about that?
Women like to be educated. They like to research something, and they like to discuss it with others, and then they like to take time and make a decision. Men generally are a little more gut reaction oriented, and they like to know what's going on, but they're less likely to take the time to get into some education. And women will share it with others.
Stuart, can you add to the gender difference there?
Joanne, are you saying that men won't stop to ask for directions? I think that's what I'm hearing.
I plead the fifth.
One of the things we saw in the survey that was one of the few gender distinctions we saw is kids go to mom first to ask their questions. Now, we haven't delved into that too much, but mom does seem to be the initial source that kids are turning to for this information.
And any speculation as to why are mom's purse strings generally more open?
Well, now it's my turn to plead the fifth.
Okay. Get yourself in trouble with that one, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's go to our callers, 1-866-780-9100. We're looking for your questions, your comments on the eve of Money Smart Week here in Iowa. Also asking you perhaps to confess when you were not money smart and what lesson you learned. 1-866-780-9100. Rennell, is it Rennell in Iowa City, right?
Yes, that's correct. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Just a comment about a couple of things about being money savvy. We took our daughter when she was 6 months old. My husband and I took her when we went to go buy our first minivan together. not a smart thing to do.
6 months, a little bit early.
A little bit early. We made some impulsive decisions. We realized that we probably spent way too much through by buying that vehicle through a dealer, having the child in tow with us when we were making those decisions. So we learned our lesson. Big ticket items, child is not involved. But everyday things, going to the grocery store, putting money in the collection at our church. Our daughter, she's now 3 and a half. She's always involved with that. She takes her own money out of her piggy bank, even at 3 and a half, and puts it in her own little church envelope. And she's starting to realize where money does go. She still thinks that money just comes out of a machine. So we're trying to teach her that money comes from a paycheck, and we have to go to work to get that paycheck. One other observation, we were just talking about, you guys were just talking about on the air, about how children go to their mothers first. And I think it's because money is more visible with women. And I could be wrong, but men keep their money in a wallet tucked in their pocket. And women carry around big, bulky purses usually. And we're always pulling out our wallet so our children see it coming from that purse. And oftentimes my daughter knows where the money comes from. It comes from mom's purse, but I don't know if she's ever seen dad's wallet. So I think it's just that visual recognition as well. So those were my comments. I also love the fact that we have, is it Money Smart Week coming up?
Money Smart Week in Iowa, yes, coming up next week.
I am going to definitely get my daughter involved with that, as well as my nieces and nephews who live in other parts of the United States. So that's interesting. So I just wanted to make those comments, and I'm open to any feedback of how to incorporate my 3 and a half year old. Got to put that half in there. How to incorporate my 3 and a half year old into money decisions.
Okay, Rennell, thank you so much for sharing your personal experience with money. Joanne or Stuart, before we react here quickly, you have a couple minutes before the break, but it would be a good time to mention, for more information about Money Smart Week, where do people go?
The best way to get to all the events would be womenandmoneyconference.com. There's a flag on there called Money Smart Events. You can download a whole list for your community.
Mm-hmm. And talking about Rennell's comments, so many aspects there. What did you find most interesting there, Joanne? We have about a minute before the break.
Well, two things. Since I'm a big savings and investing buff and write children's books on those areas, I would say that a wallet and a purse are symbols of spending. And the biggest thing that you can do for a kid that young is get a piggy bank. I have a 18-month-old granddaughter who loves to put coins in that piggy bank. So grandma will for sure give her all the coins she wants to fill that bank. But that is a huge thing to do with kids, is get a piggy bank. It is a savings tool.
Okay, we'll come back with more from Joanne Custer, State Chair of Money Smart Week in Iowa, when we return. Also with us, Stuart Ritter, Certified Financial Planner with T. Rowe Price. Your questions, your comments, and your confessions about when you were not smart with money, and what lesson it taught you, and what lesson we can learn from your experience. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org, our email. We're on Facebook or Twitter. Tweet us at IPR Talk. When we come back, we'll go to one of the sites that Money Smart Iowa is focusing on, Creston, which, if you've been paying attention, was struck by a tornado in recent days, complicating many things in that town, financial money things as well. We'll talk about that when we come back. Tim Bakula will be with us as well from the University of Northern Iowa. Back in just a few minutes. So nice to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and this hour we're finding out about the nature of parent-child communication when it comes to money. We're finding that sometimes it's a taboo topic in many families, finding out what's being talked about, what's not being talked about, what should be talked about, why it's important to talk, have that conversation with your kids about money. How else should they learn? We're also brushing up on our own money management skills on the eve of the 6th annual Money Smart Week, taking a place across the state next week. Joining us, Joanne Custer, State Chair of Money Smart Week, Iowa. Also, Stuart Ritter, Certified Financial Planner with T. Rowe Price. We'd like to have you join our conversation, especially if you have a question or a comment about being money smart. Perhaps there was a time when you weren't money smart, a specific instance that you'd like to share, and we can learn from. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to our calls. First of all, Lori with us in Columbus Junction. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing fine. What would you like to share?
Well, one thing I did was when my kids were growing up, they thought I had a secret Swiss bank account, you know, and was hiding money. I cashed my paycheck and got $1 bills, and there was an envelope for each bill that had to be paid. And they would have to divide the money up and put it in there so they could see where the money was actually going. And I found that was really helpful to them. And another thing I did for giving was at Christmas time, we do Samaritan's Purse Christmas in a Shoebox, and they spend their own money for that, or they pick out an animal from Heifer International. So they, instead of getting a Christmas gift, they were giving to somebody else.
Interesting. Lori. Great examples of using money and also connecting money with values. Stuart spoke about that early in our program. Joanne, what do you think about these practices that Lori just mentioned? She did.
Anything that you can do to get kids involved with earning, spending, saving, sharing, and borrowing is a good idea. It's just like learning your manners, learning how to play piano, or learning to tie your shoes. The more you do it, the better you get.
Okay, let's go to Mike quickly in Des Moines. Hi, Mike.
Hey, hi. I guess I just wanted to share a financial mistake, I suppose, a bad decision that we made.
Oh, please do tell us, yes.
Sure. A couple years ago, after the birth of our second son and, you know, how expensive daycare is, we decided, you know, to have mom stay home and live on one income. At first, it made sense, but we didn't truly financially vet the whole idea. And it did result in some strain and, of course, like all unsmart decisions, we kind of relied a little bit on credit cards to, you know, pay for groceries here and there, just minor things, but, you know, small increments eventually add up to big money. So now we're working towards being debt-free and almost starting over.
So, credit cards.
Credit cards
can get you in trouble. So with your kids, teach them about credit cards, that it's not free money.
That is true. Yeah. So we kind of like your last caller mentioned, we're also using the envelope system. So now the kids see all the financial decisions. We're using envelopes for bills. They have envelopes for their donations to church and things of that sort. So they also see where their allowance is being spread out to. So,
Mike, thank you for sharing.
Sure. Thank you.
1-866-780-9100. Talking about money matters this week. We want to have another person join our conversation. Money Smart Week starts next week. It includes activities across the state, statewide activities, as well as specific activities in a number of communities: Council Bluffs, Creston, Harlan, Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Dubuque, and the Quad Cities. Creston, of course, one of the communities in Creston in southwest Iowa, one of the communities participating in Money Smart Week. But their plans have been thrown for a loop after a tornado with winds of up over 100 miles per hour hit on Saturday. In fact, the Greater Regional Medical Center there took the brunt of the tornado. Our information tells us six were injured. Jan Nock joining us from Iowa State Savings Bank in Creston right now. Hi, Jan.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi. You are in our Des Moines studio. Thanks for making the trip to Des Moines. Six injured. Was that the extent of the injuries? I know a lot of damage.
There were no fatalities reported.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Now, tell us, because we're focusing on money this hour, this disaster brings into focus some important aspects of money management in the case of unforeseen disasters of all types. What problems are the people of Creston facing in the aftermath of this tornado that have to do specifically with money?
We have many people in Creston who are facing a very sudden loss of their home or damage to their home that are requiring them to come up with down payments for their insurance policies. We have loss of income due to storm damage at employers. We have several major employers in Creston that have been closed. Some may be closed for several weeks due to the storm damage, and that does include our hospital, as you mentioned, employs over 300 people. In addition to that, our YMCA is closed and will be for a number of weeks. It will need to be completely renovated. our area education agency has been leveled. Those workers are being finding new places in our school system. And our community college also has been damaged by the tornado with the student housing. But I have some good reports to bring to you about that as well.
Mm, you do. Okay, so tell us.
Well, the community's really pulled together very quickly. I spoke with Matt Thompson, Dean of Students at SWCC this morning, and he said they have completed the cleanup at the college. They have been able to find housing for all of the students. I know that some have been placed in area motel, and the community's opened their housing, rooms in the basement, an unused room, an apartment maybe they hadn't rented. So all the students have housing, and repairs are going to start in the dormitories very soon, and also that they're looking forward to welcoming students back on campus in the fall. But he did have a comment that I think is very pertinent to our discussion this morning. He said that, Matt Thompson said that this has been a real eye-opener for students, and they are realizing that it's pretty important to have a savings reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I think that's the message we're hearing around town from families of all income levels, from individuals who have been impacted by the storm, who were at work Saturday evening and came home to find their house was gone.
Mm.
Their apartment was gone. All their children's toys, all the diapers, their car was possibly severely damaged. And so they, at that point, need to rely on their reserve savings. And not everyone has that reserve savings. So I think a lot of families in Creston are realizing that this is a very good time to start and take a look at their personal finances and start saving, even if it's a small amount, to put away every paycheck to have available in case of an emergency like this.
Jan Nock in Creston, our thoughts are certainly with you as we eagerly await Creston recovering from the tornado damage of a few days ago. Stuart Ritter, as a certified financial planner with T. Rowe Price, I wonder if you can give us some more details, a few guidelines about how we prepare for disasters, whether they be a disaster that strikes an entire community as it did in Creston. We have also personal disasters. Losing a job can be a disaster you need to plan for, right, Stuart?
Absolutely. Life rarely goes according to plan. There's always going to be things that are coming up. And as was mentioned, from a financial standpoint, one of the ways you prepare for that is an emergency fund, having 3 to 6 months of expenses in an account that you can easily access so that when something does arise, whether it is major damage to your home, loss of income, somebody gets sick, anything like that, you're able to weather the financial aspect of it and can keep your attention focused on the other elements that need your attention to be able to recover as a family from this.
Dan is joining us from Albion. Hi, Dan. Welcome to our program. What did you have to share?
Well, what I wanted to do was see if I could find some advice for working with my oldest son, who's a college student, who has absolutely no common sense with money.
He's probably the only one of that age who has no common sense with money, Dan.
Yeah. It's not like my wife and I have been, spendthrifts in our lives. We've used the envelope system. We try to do things with cash only as much as possible. We pay ourselves first in the sense of an emergency fund, savings accounts and retirement funds, you name it. Anyway, he's got outstanding loans for school that are beginning to approach $100,000.
Oh, my.
And he seems to think as long as there's, loan money still in the bank, I should just feel free to blow it any time.
Yeah, Dan, that frustration makes parents suffer. I didn't mean to make light of it. It's certainly a serious topic, but one many, many people share. Dan, I have somebody here joining our conversation who will have some words for you. Tim Bakula is the Associate Director of Financial Aid at the University of Northern Iowa, and the University of Northern Iowa had a financial literacy quiz held earlier this week. He's in our studios in Cedar Falls. Hi, Tim.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Hey, very well, Tim. We're had a lot to talk about this hour. We're coming to the end of the hour. I want to get you in here, first of all, to address Dan's concern about money smartness among college students, which is your concern.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons that we, along with several other colleges throughout the nation, obviously, have begun focusing on financial literacy efforts. For Dan, our caller there, the one thing I might suggest for his son is to perhaps talk to the financial aid office, or at least start there at the college that he's at. if he sits down with a loan counselor, they'll be able to talk to him about long-term impacts of what he's doing now, potentially. And that's a lot of what we do on campus, is working with students who are looking at private loan borrowing or federal loans, for that matter, and what consequences it will lead to as they mature.
Mm-hmm. What do you equip students? What do you want to equip students with? You know, Dan's example is so good because, you know, loans have to be paid back. What guidelines do you try to teach about how to look at a loan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really it starts even before that, and it kind of goes along with everything that's been said before, starting very early in budgeting and having financial goals. So oftentimes when students come to college, it's the first time they're kind of on their own or not under their parents' roof, at least, and they feel a little bit of freedom, and some feel more of that freedom and use their money to reflect that. We talk a lot about budgeting and having goals in terms of goals, whether it's maximums in terms of what they want to borrow for student loans, goals just for buying books the next semester. Mm-hmm. How do you want to get there? And then living within your means, needs versus wants. Very basic things, but it's something that if you bring it to a teachable moment, such as we had a class the other day we talked to about cell phones. Is that a need or a want? And obviously there was some good discussion about when you start working up texting and then into smartphones and things of that sort, some still felt those were needed, and others would rebut with why they were wants. So just having those conversations with them. Then we also get into a lot of counseling with what borrowing can lead to or lead you down a path of, and that's, you know, been widely documented in news media throughout the last couple of years even.
Tim Bakula, Associate Director of Financial Aid at the University of Northern Iowa. This email I'll share from Dave in Mount Pleasant. Back to our early conversation, the conversations kids have with parents about money. Three lessons I tried to teach my children, writes Dave in Mount Pleasant. One, never buy or donate anything via phone. If we get a sales call, it doesn't matter what the pitch. My answer is always no when it's on the phone. Two, never make impulse purchases with credit. Three, always put a night's sleep between a decision to make a major purchase and the actual purchase. Tim, those sound good from Dave in Mount Pleasant, don't they?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, more broadly, back to what we were talking about, is am I right in saying there's been a generational change here? Isn't it true that a generation or two, when we were younger, for many of us, when you left home, that was it? You looked after your own money, you managed any debt. Now parents, aren't they generally more involved in kids' lives into early adulthood, longer with grown children than they used to be?
Yeah, I would definitely concur with that. There's a group of parents that readily identify themselves as helicopter parents, those that will hover around their kids and help them make every decision or make the decisions for them. And while to a point that can be helpful to know that you have someone supporting you, it's also good to manage your money on your own or learn the effective strategies to manage your money on your own before you leave college and then you're looking for a job and having parents show up at interviews or things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Lynn is joining us from Cedar Rapids. Thanks for calling, Lynn. What do you have to share?
Hi. When my husband and I first were married, we had a lot of credit card debt. We had, I think, over $12,000 when we got out of college. And so we decided together that, we would not purchase a house until we had our credit card debt paid off. And we had student loans as well, but that was lower interest rate as well. But so we just kind of buckled down for, a year or two and just plugged away at it, got them all paid off. We were able to purchase our house with no credit card debt. And it took, discipline. It took, the fact that education is expensive, that, we learned our lesson and we've never carried a debt on our credit card month to month since. But What was funny, when we went to purchase a house, about 10 to 12 years later, we were, well established in our careers, and we were approved for a loan of like $400,000 to purchase a home, which is laughable because it's more than we could ever afford to spend. And we had to, our realtor was flabbergasted when why don't you want to spend that amount of money? You're approved for it. And I'm like, no.
I want to sleep at night?
Right, exactly. And I want to be able to go to the movies, and I want to go have pizza with my kids. But, it's a certain level of responsibility on our own parts to say, you know, and this is after the housing crisis happened. You know, we were still approved for this astronomical amount for a mortgage, but we knew we could not spend that amount of money. So we learned to be responsible for our monies and our actions.
Lynn, thank you for that story. Good to hear that you're on a sound financial footing now, getting rid of that credit card debt. Stuart, back to you in Baltimore with T. Roy Price. Interesting that your survey brought out this interesting aspect that parents, when we talk about the future and security financially in the future, parents believe that life on other planets to be more likely than kids having a secure financial future. Tell us about that.
Well, it was specifically about kids getting Social Security, whether or not the Social Security system would be providing a benefit exactly as it's provided now under the current rules when their kids got to the point to do that. And as you pointed out, more parents thought there was a likelihood of life on another planet than that was going to happen. So you've got some realism that parents are bringing into it, and the implication of that is the message we've been hearing throughout the show. You know, talking to your kids about saving, talking to your kids about setting goals, being visible with your money. One of the things that's going on now, you talked about generational differences, is a lot of bills come in and get paid online. Kids might never see it. So, again, we as parents have the opportunity to provide some context around it. One of the things that might help parents get a lot of these concepts across is we partnered, or collaborated rather, with Walt Disney to create an online game called The Great Piggy Bank Adventure. Joanne mentioned earlier that the piggy bank is a symbol of savings, and we found that internationally. So kids have the opportunity to play a game where they're learning all these concepts we've been talking about in a fun, interactive, 3D online board game way. And parents have then the opportunity to talk to them about what they're experiencing in the game and how it applies in the real world for both the decisions that the kids are making. And then parents can talk about things like trade-offs of not buying a house for a while so that you can pay off credit cards. It makes it a lot easier for parents to have those conversations, a lot more fun. The Great Piggy Bank Adventure can help with that.
Okay, how do people access that? Parents, kids?
The way to find it is to go to our Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/TROWPRICE, TROWEPRICE, and click on the Family Center tab. You get access to the game, an interactive booklet that kids can play with, stories from other parents about what they learned growing up about money and how they can teach their kids. So a lot of resources there to help parents have these conversations and increase what their kids can do in terms of making good decisions about money.
Tim Bakula there in Cedar Falls, Associate Director of Financial Aid at the University of Northern Iowa. You at UNI had a financial literacy quiz earlier this week. We don't have much time, but how did that go?
It went very well. I was incredibly impressed with the knowledge level of the students that we had there, and we had three winners. I'm going to at least say their names on air so they can get recognized. Shelby Lewis, who's a biology major, Aaron Reinhardt is a science education major, and Michael Finley is a criminology major. They're all part of a financial literacy club on campus, actually, as well, that help advocate for students getting involved and learning more about their own personal finances.
Okay, hit us with a question or two from the financial literacy quiz, if you could, Tim.
Okay, these ranged everything from student loans all the way up through mortgages. So we asked things like, what do points refer to in the home mortgage application process? It was multiple choice, but 1 point equals 1% of the loan amount paid to the lender. Now, that goes to some of the points that were brought up earlier with most people don't really understand the mortgage process prior to actually applying. But these students who are incredibly devoted to their own personal financial, you know, knowledge base are learning things like that through this club. Term life insurance questions, a lot of different information put out there. Great show put on, and they probably would have beaten me in the game even.
Okay, so these are the top financial literacy whizzes that you had in this quiz. Thanks for sharing that. Joanne Custer, quickly back to you before we have to go. We have less than a minute. Your state chair of Money Smart Week in Iowa ending beginning next week. Tell us how people can find out more and what's happening again.
Money Smart Week is April 21 to 28. We have over 150 events across the state. Two ways to get to us. Our Facebook page is Money Smart Week Iowa. And online, you can find us at womenandmoneyconference.com. Click on Money Smart Week events, and you'll find posters that list each region's events.
And I understand you're traveling the state with Ben Franklin?
I am. We have reached thousands and thousands of kids. You can see our pictures on our Facebook page. He's quite a guy. His message is, save your money.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne Custer of Money Smart Week in Iowa. Thanks for coming into our studio and joining us. Stuart Ritter out in Baltimore, thank you for joining us from T. Rowe Price.
Thank you.
And Tim Bakula at the University of Northern Iowa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jan Nock, Iowa State Savings Bank in Creston, we do wish you all the best of a recovery and a successful Money Smart Week there in Creston.
Thank you.
Okay. River to River is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Emily Woodbury. Technical support from Dennis Reese. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows, Jeff Schmidt. Our theme music written and performed by the River Monks. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Perhaps you have a suggestion for a future program. What should we be talking about on this program in the future? Drop us a line, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. ¶¶